On the show today, we have TransUnion's very own Melissa Gaddis talking about their newest quarterly fraud analysis, revealing where fraud is migrating to. This time it's gaming, travel, and leisure. And of course, financial services is in there as well. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we're talking a little fraud, which is top of mind for everybody. I think the last decade and a half, but even more so in the last couple of years. We have TransUnion's very own Melissa Gaddis with us. Melissa, how are you today?
I'm great today. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. You're welcome. Hey, so TransUnion does a quarterly kind of fraud analysis, and the latest one has come out. And it covers a lot here. We're talking, you know, we're talking travel, leisure, obviously financial services, because that's kind of our focus here. So just to kind of kick things off here, Melissa, can you give us a quick overview on this latest report that you guys came out with for this quarter?
Sure. So I'll give it just a little bit of background on the analysis that we do. Each quarter, we do both a consumer analysis where we're asking people questions to self-identify if they've experienced fraud, if they've been hit by fraudulent attempts. And we're also within the TransUnion fraud business, we're analyzing billions of transactions that we have as we're helping protect our business customers' traffic. Yep. And so combined with that, this is the information that led to the report that we've recently released. And what we are doing in particular, especially since COVID hit, we are analyzing the trends from sort of this time during the pandemic last year to what we're seeing now. And the numbers in this particular report, again, our business travels, we protect businesses in all industries, which is why you see the travel and leisure, et cetera. But we are seeing some different trends now than we were this time last year, because last year there was such a huge shift, right? Some industries, like we'll take travel and leisure, just pretty much shut down. Nobody was traveling anywhere. Right. Whereas this quarter, you're now seeing it starting to pick up again. And whereas also in the financial industries world, with the brick and mortar businesses or brick and mortar instances being shut down and everything having to go online, we saw a significant increase in traffic there last year. Mm-hmm. And so while the numbers are still pretty high, it's starting to normalize a little bit in some industries versus others, where now the traffic volumes are increasing significantly because different markets around the world are starting to open up.
Right. Yeah. And I wanted to touch on, because this one kind of focuses on a little, I wanted to say focus, but one of the main impacts was travel and leisure. And like you said, people are starting to travel again and go to hotels and resorts. And I mean, this is vacation month, you know, late July, early August is vacation time. So a lot of people are heading to the airport and going to places they haven't been in about the last year and a half or so. So it's kind of this, like, let's get out and go somewhere type of thing. So give us something, what's going on with the travel and leisure? Because the numbers, are staggering here as far as the increase in fraud here. So you want to touch on that real quick, and then we'll talk about a little bit of financial services as well.
Sure. Well, let's be real, right? The people perpetuating fraud are opportunistic, right? They go where where they can make the biggest money and where the traffic is. Yep. And so the financial industry is always a target, because being able to monetize fraud within the financial industry, that's large money. But this month, this quarter is because the travel and leisure, you know, going to Expedia and buying tickets, going, you know, flying everywhere, right? We're talking about things opening back up again. There's more traffic to hit, more sites that now they're like, everybody is, they've got promotions out there trying to encourage people to travel. And it's a big business. Most of the fraud we're seeing from there tends to be credit card fraud, right? You're going to buy something big ticket, charge back. So, which likely starts in the financial industry, because first you have to get a credit card that you're not intending to pay back. And so you can see within all of the traffic that we have, you can see sort of the fraud move. Starts perhaps with a credit app that a fraudulent credit application. It could go to shipping fraud. We see tons of trends with shipping fraud or fraudulent applications that end up being used for high ticket purchases. Mm-hmm. In this case, it could be airline tickets or some large vacation.
Right, right. Yeah. And the numbers, though, my gosh, there, I saw one here was that let's see, the digital fraud attempt rate is rising 393%.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, Melissa.
Now, again, putting into perspective, we are compared to last year, right? Yeah. And especially in that industry, because that's the gaming industry, right? A lot of that and travel industry, it requires your idea of having disposable income. And we are now coming, the employment rates are going back up. People who were laid off may be employed again, furloughs are stopped, and people start feeling like they have more disposable income. They are then visiting the industries where you would attribute to a disposable mm-hmm. income, such as gaming, travel, and leisure.
Right, right. Well, I mean, the savings or even deposits, savings/deposits are, right. Off the charts as well. So people do have a lot of discretionary income to like, okay, let's go buy that car or let's go to Hawaii or something like that. So yeah, so it's definitely the opportunities are for there. I wanted to switch to online financial services. There was a stat in here. Online financial services fraud attempts has risen at a rate of 18.8% globally and 38.3% in the US. Can you tell me what's going on there? My goodness. Those aren't numbers to sneeze at for sure.
They're not numbers to sneeze at, that's for sure. And it really is the amount of traffic that we're seeing. And again, in comparison, 38% actually is lower than it has been. So we're on a downward trend, believe it or not. That sounds alarming, but we are on a downward trend. And we're going to start, I think, seeing it sort of level out. There's always a base level of fraudulent attempts, right?
Yeah.
That we have. That's why businesses, it's so important that businesses help protect their consumers and consumers do what they can to protect themselves.
Right, right.
And so while the increase sounds alarming and it is to somebody who doesn't watch these numbers all the time, we are seeing more of a downward trend there. And so it's a bit of a relief. But again, when you look at the amount of online transactions, when we pivoted last year to everything being online, think about how the consumers changed. Business has had to change, but now consumers who may have gone into the brick and mortar business, now they're used to being online, and now they want to have that. So even as companies are opening up and you can walk into the stores, you can walk into the credit unions, you can walk into the banks, even as you can do that, are consumers going to do that at the level that they'd had before? Mm-hmm. I suspect not. Nice. And, even grocery shopping, right? Yeah. People are like, I'm never walking in a grocery store again, which just increases the number of digital transactions online that there are. And I think the increase in number of digital transactions will continue to stay pretty steady, even mm-hmm. as businesses open up where you can walk in. Because some people aren't quite comfortable in going in yet, and the convenience of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we have Amazon showing up at our doorstep at least twice a week. So we're all in on the digital for sure.
That's right.
I want to talk about something else that's been consistent, and that's phishing. And that's been consistent for a really long time. And it's still the number one type of fraud out there, especially when you're talking COVID-19. I mean, it's in your report as well. So yeah. Phishing is the number one type of COVID-19 related digital fraud. So, oh my gosh, because we've heard common sense, don't click on that, when it comes into your email. But it's still there. So any advice, any information, anything to comment on that one? Because it's still there.
The interesting thing is phishing, of course, because once they have your information, they can monetize it in so many ways, right? They can sell it.
Yep.
And that's a quick and easy, or they can try to access your accounts and further perpetuate fraud. And the interesting thing about this specific issue and tying it to the COVID pandemic or any natural disaster is that, we hear about the dating scams, the Nigerian princes of the world. And, I get called from the IRS every other day telling me that, if I don't pay something, they're going to come and arrest me. Right. That's been normalized. People are like, oh, I'll never fall for that because course I've heard about that. But this sort of thing is different. This is, looking like they're coming from a credit union and, changing the way the A is, right? Because mm-hmm. it looks like it's the bank, but you know, it's slightly different, but it's spelled correctly. It's easy to fall for something like that. Completely. And people who are looking for the unemployment checks or the support from the government or whatever they're looking for are expecting it to come in. And so it's not like, you know, the IRS saying you've done something and we're going to arrest you, which is the phone calls I get. or, you know, the Nigerian princes of the world. This is something that looks legitimate. It looks like it's from your bank. Yeah. It's spelled correctly with just, you know, the different character perhaps, but it still is an A. It just is different. And it's easier to believe that. And the one thing that I really want people to understand is if you do fall for something, you're not alone. Millions of people are getting hit with this. You know, I had a relative of mine who got hit with something and got phished and had to change bank accounts and had changed all of that. And they commented, I feel so stupid. Well, it's, you know, you feel bad and you're like, oh, of course I should have seen it. But realistically, the regular person just clicking and getting stuff in their email it doesn't always look like it's phishing. It looks legitimate and they're not alone. And they need to know that they're not alone in this. It doesn't make them feel any better other than to realize, you know, they're not the only person in the world that this happened to. Right. It's a big business.
There's a reason why phishing is the number one type, because it works and we're all susceptible to it for sure. So I guess the lesson here is if you're getting something from your bank or your credit union or something along those lines, really scrutinize it. You know, I mean, really take a double look and take a double take at it or check with somebody or call the financial institution, go, is this real? I mean, so I'm right there with you on that one. Last one I wanted to cover here was stolen credit card or fraudulent charges. That was the second most cited type of COVID-19 related online fraud out there. Oh my gosh. That's just, speaking of not going away, that one's not going to go away either. Right.
Right. Right. And that's a tough one, right? There's a lot that we can do. And, you know, people always say, well, I'll know when my bill comes at the end of the month. Well, I don't even get a bill anymore, right? I'm always looking. I have alerts set up on mine if a charge is over a certain amount, if it's online, if it's international. Like, my husband can't buy Christmas presents for me. He has to take out cash because I see everything, right? And I've been in this business long enough that I have that. And so it's true that the credit card fraud is number one. Now, that's stolen credit cards, but it also starts back and using synthetic identities or you know, you setting up a credit card under my name and being approved. And so it's a matter of really ensuring identity verification and identity proofing at the time that the credit card is had. But then as a consumer too, you know, as scary as this may sound, I assume my credentials are out there. Somewhere along the line, I've shopped somewhere, I've gone somewhere they have my credentials. And so as a consumer, what can I do to protect it? If I assume you have my usernames and passwords, you know, what is it going to get into? Well, not much by itself, because anything financial requires two-step on my part. I don't go for the instant gratification because I want to keep my bank account safe, right? Any vendor I might go to where I store my credit card, I'll do the same thing. And so there's a lot that businesses can do and credit unions can do to support protecting their consumers, but there's a lot the consumers should do themselves to really solidify that protection.
Yeah, it definitely takes two in this instance. You know, both parties have to be vigilant in this area. So, and speaking of that, so what's the significance of this information or even lessons learned here from based on the latest information in this report that we've only just scratched the surface on? There's so much more in this. But based on what we talked about so far, what's the significance or even lessons learned here?
Well, I think the significance is that we are starting to see, although the numbers are alarming, we are starting to see a leveling out. But it's important to note that fraudsters do go where they can make money, right? Mm-hmm. If they're not making money, they're going to go away. So from a business perspective, really ensuring that your transactions and your customers' transactions are protected with the identity verification and allowing the two-factor authentication is key. Because if they they're not working hard at it, right? It's like a return on investment. Yep. If they have to work really hard to earn that dollar, the dollar isn't worth it as much.
Right.
And so that's one of the key takeaways from a business perspective. I do think though, we're going to start seeing a leveling out, and as businesses open up and some digital transaction volumes go down, but fraud will continue to persist. And it's not a game of I put something in place and that'll be magic the whole time. It's a constant evolution, mm-hmm. right? Working with your partners who are helping support fraud mitigation to ensure that you're changing what you're doing, because fraudsters can figure that out too, right? They're like, oh, if there's a velocity of, you know, I can't apply for two credit cards in 24 hours, they'll wait 25 hours, right? So it's a constant, you have to constantly be vigilant and understand the trends of your own data to see what will work with you in your own company.
Yeah, it's just this constant evolution of staying one step ahead of those
That's
folks.
Right.
But I mean, thanks to folks like you out there that are helping protect us consumers like me.
Yes.
Thank you. So really, really good stuff here. Anything else here on this, Melissa? I mean, I know, again, we've scratched the surface here on all the findings in this latest report, but anything else to add here? And we'll of course have a link in the show notes so people can get right to it and see all the details. But anything else to wrap up on from your end?
I don't think so today. I think we covered quite a bit. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome. Yes, it's fantastic information. And I kind of liken it to like, hey, keep your kitchen clean and the ants won't show up. There's nothing for them to eat. So
they're
going to go somewhere else.
That's exactly.
All righty, Melissa. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time. That was really, really good stuff here. So appreciate it and keep up the good work. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.